I want you to take your Bible and turn with me this morning to Psalm 46, and I'm going to be in this passage for just a few minutes this morning and share some things with you that God's laid on my heart. I have spent quite a bit of time in this passage this week. It is a very powerful passage of Scripture. It talks about how that in times of trouble, when trouble comes, when adversity strikes, when things happen that are beyond our control, that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And we're thankful for that and how the Lord speaks in our crises. And so I want you to, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 46, and we're going to read God's Word together. It's just 11 verses, so we're going to read all of that this morning. So if you would, look in verse number 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The psalmist writes, and he's saying there, we think of mountains and we think of how that the earth and mountains are things that are symbols of stability. And when they're talking about being moved, there's a time of instability and not so much the things that we rely on as our hope. And so today we're going to talk about where that help comes from in a time of crisis. Go on, it says, though the waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Again, let's pray this morning, and we're going to kind of dive in there and talk about when trouble comes and times of crises, where do we find our help, and the encouragement we need from God's Word. Let's pray together this morning. Father, again, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be live here at First Baptist Church of Grant. And Lord, as we go out and people are watching from our church family and beyond our church family, I pray that, again, you would be that source of encouragement for us today. Be that source of strength, that source of security, that source of hope that we have, because we know that with you, all things are possible. So have your way in our hearts and lives today. And we pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen, just a way of just a little housekeeping things again. If you need to contact me, you can contact me at 256-717-7120. That's my personal cell number. You can email me at pastorchuck84@gmail.com. You can touch base with me there. You can message us on our Facebook page. You can call the church office. It'll be open on Mondays and Tuesdays right now. And so if you want to bring your offering by, you can do that. If you want to drop it in the mail to our P.O. box, you can do that. If you want to use our PayPal account, it's up and it's working on our website. Just go to PayPal there, click. You can establish an account or you can just give one time, however you feel led to do. But we encourage you to continue to do that as the needs will continue here in both our church and in our community. And we know that together, it's not equal gifts, but it is equal sacrifice. And we together can accomplish much for the glory of God. Just a couple of things coming up. We got a meeting today about, you know, doing something alternative for our Easter egg hunt and just making a plan. So we'll get together with some folks today via a conference call at around 5 today. And then also we're considering, we haven't made exact plans yet, but we're considering drive-in church for Easter Sunday. If things are not much, much worse, if things are staying about the same, we're considering drive-in church. And deacons, we had a meeting yesterday, the conference call, and we're considering that for Easter Sunday. People will just come, stay in their car, we'll provide music, do everything live outside, weather permitting. And so just looking for some other ways to trying to be creative and, you know, get together best we can. But we're glad you're here today. With that said, I want you to think about with me this morning, this psalm, the Psalm 46. And this is a psalm of triumph. This is a psalm of victory, if you would, as the psalmist writes. And it really speaks to the adequacy, and not only the adequacy, but the authority of our God, the superiority of our God. It speaks to his ability to be that ever-present help in a time of trouble. And with that said, you know, the book of Psalms is broke down into what we call five books. In five books, Psalm 1 to 41 is book 1, Psalm 2, book 2 is Psalm 42 to 72. So this psalm falls in what we call book 2 of the Psalms. And again, it's a psalm of victory, and it's a psalm of God's authority, and it's a psalm of God's adequacy in facing threats that come not only from nature, but from nations and even from times like this that we're seeing with this virus and what's going on in our world today. And so, but there is hope in this world. There's a man named Don Moen, and he wrote a song called He Giveth More Grace. And he says like this, because I'm reminded of James chapter 4, verse 6, where God says he gives more grace. And so I want to encourage you today that in the midst of our troubles and our trials, that God gives more grace. Don Moen wrote these words, and he said, He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, that's kind of appropriate today, isn't it? Or our Father, full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. And then the chorus says these words, beautiful words. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. God gives more grace. And in this time when trouble comes, we need to realize that. We need to realize that God's on the throne. Nothing will thwart his plans. He will not lose to the enemy. He will and is and always will be victorious. And he will be in our lives. You know, this too shall pass. I saw the video. I hope y'all saw the video of somebody posted on one of the social media platforms. And it was Chris Farley running down the aisle and some pastor. And he was hugging everybody and high-fiving everybody. And some pastor wrote that this is what's going to be like that first Sunday back to church. And I promise you, I think it will be. I think it'll be a great day when we gather again into the house of God and worship together. And there'll be excitement and there'll be enthusiasm. And right now, we're just trying to do everything that we're supposed to do, be compliant with the authorities and make sure that we're doing what we can to ensure our own safety and other people's safeties, and that way that social distancing, practicing that and practicing good hygiene and all the things that we need to do. But again, I don't want us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ to think that we have to run and hide. God's in control. God is in control of all of this. And when trouble comes, when crisis strike, he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. The psalm celebrates the presence of God in the life of the believer. Martin Luther, that nailed his theses, his 95 theses on the Vatican door, this is the psalm that was most important in his life. This is the psalm where he wrote the words to the hymn called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And this was the battle cry, if you would, of Martin Luther, this particular psalm, that God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. You know, I know that, again, trying to stay in and trying to practice social distancing and all those things, I was encouraged. I got something across one of the social media platforms again the other day talking about Anne Frank and how that she hid herself from the Nazis and from the Germans for two 2 years. Her and seven other people crouched in a 450 square foot loft for over 2 years. And we're so weary that we're counting the days. Day one, day two, day 10, day 11, day 12 of self-isolation or social distancing in our house. And I say to you that here's Anne Frank and seven other people that crouched in a 450 square foot loft for over 2 years to protect themselves. And I want to say that anything's possible for us. Anything's possible. We will get through this, and God is going to be that help in this time of trouble. So again, this passage relates to people that are in need. That's you and I, every day of our life. Not just because of the coronavirus or anything else, but every day of our life, we're people that are needy people. We always need Him, and we can experience His presence, especially when we go through times like this. I need Him every day. You need Him every day. But when we're going through times like this, we especially need Him and need to be reminded of His presence in our lives as His children. And so with that said, Psalm 46 reminds us that in times of trouble, God is tried and true. You can count on Him. The psalm describes a crisis that involves meditation on our part upon who God is, and God's response to our meditation on the part of who He is. He will respond in that. So the passage celebrates or creates a reminder of the instability and insecurity of life. And life is shorting and it's fleeting at best, is it not? But with God, there is security and there is hope and there's help in a time of trouble. So with that said, we're going to dive in and look. And just three quick things this morning I want you to see from God's Word. God has a promise here for us in times of our distress. In verses 1 through 3, He gives us some very certain things. He talks about His closeness there in the passage. He says that He's ever-present help in a time of trouble. And He's a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The things that we believe that are immutable, impregnable, the earth and the mountains, they are, and even the menacing of the sea, all of those things, when those things that are stability that we look at, when those things are being shaken, God's that very present help in a time of trouble. And so it sees God's Word says there's a closeness that comes. In time of trouble, we can count on the Lord. This is not only a biblical testimony, but this is a personal testimony as well. I can count on the fact that God has time after time after time been there for me just like that. That personal testimony. Verse 1 says He's our shelter. He's our refuge and our strength. Refuge, a shield of protection, a place to go quietly for protection, a place of safety. When the rains come and God and the winds blow and the storm rages, God protects us as His children. Isaiah promised the children of Israel that God would guard Zion with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. As in the Exodus, He says, for over all the glory there will be a covering and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime, for the heat, and for a place of refuge and for shelter from storms and rains, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And so God's promise that in time of trouble, in time of distress, in time of crises, that He would be close to you and I. He is our shelter. Second thing is that He's our strength. I'm so glad that God is our strength. He gives strength for the day. We don't store it up for tomorrow. He gives strength for the day, strength for each day. And He's promised that in the midst of the crisis or in the midst of the trouble, that He would be our strength. His might is exerted against His enemy. The enemy will not prevail. He is our shield and our sword, and He protects us and He fights for us because He is our strength. So be encouraged today that God is close to you. God is with you, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening in your life. You know, I said to you last week, we talked about faith, and I have a daughter and son-in-law that's in Germany, in Europe, and I asked you to pray for us as we pray for them. I have a daughter, my other daughter reminded me quick that I didn't mention her last week, and I said, but I mentioned all of y'all, all these frontline, the healthcare nurses, emergency room, people in the ICU units, all these doctors, nurses, specialists that are out there on the front line, we thank God for you. We thank God for you and what you're doing out there. And my daughter is a nurse in Birmingham, and we're thankful for all that's being done and all that's being sacrificed there. Some of these people are self-isolating from their families, even when they're working 12 and 20-hour shifts, and they're just putting in loads and loads and loads of time and effort to care for people that are sick, and we're very thankful for them. But we're glad, more glad, that God is our strength. And we pray that these people find His strength, that God would be their strength in a time of trouble, that He would be their shelter in a time of trouble. And so not only is He our shelter and He's our strength, but He's our sufficiency, a very present help, a very present, that phrase, very present, it means that He has been found, that His being is enough for any situation, a very present help in time of trouble, that you can count on the fact that God is in control and that His being alone is enough for every situation that you face, no matter what it is, what fears that you might have. And yes, we have fears. And yes, sometimes our faith wavers. And yes, sometimes we have doubts and maybe even discouragement. But God's promise that He is sufficient in all of those things, a very present help. And He is abundantly available help. He is adequate in every case, in every situation, just simply because He's God. That's comforting for me. I hope it's comforting for you today that you, when you look at God's Word and you see the closeness of our God, these promises, that in these times of distress, He's promised His closeness. He's our shelter, our strength, our sufficiency. And then I love when He talks about our security. He says in verse 2 and 3 that He's our security. Though we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, He says, what do you think about that? I'm thankful that God is our security. Our refuge in God is so secure that we have nothing to fear no matter what. Though invasions come, though natural disaster comes, though sickness comes in the form of this virus. You know, and again, I'll be reminded that we have not faced this. I mean, we're facing this, but we face things like this in times past. We have seen times of sickness. We've seen times when on the planet 1.5 billion people were infected with the Asian flu and over a million people died. But man is resilient and God is faithful. And we will get through this time and God is our security. Even if our life ends, if we're in Christ, we win. And so there's no reason to fear what may come our way. Verse 2 and 3 are pictures of a land that's in a time of unrest or disconcerting times, much like ours. Symbolic way of telling us not to fear even insurrection or invasion or natural disaster or a national disaster can touch the refuge of our God. Amen? We are safe and secure, and He is sufficient for everything that we're going through. So these verses describe a fearsome disaster. And the word there, it says remove in the passage. It says all those things, even if the earth be removed, and how that no matter what's happening, it means change. It can describe an earthquake or an eruption or a tidal wave or a volcano or something like that or some huge tsunami or whatever the case may be in the passage, whatever it's describing. But God, the creator and sustainer of everything, holds us fast. He's got the whole world in His hands, the song says. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. And we're thankful for the security that we have in Jesus. So the promise for times of disaster is God's closeness. He's our shelter. He's our strength. He's our sufficiency. He is our security. And then we have His confidence. His confidence. And I'm thankful for that, that not only we have His closeness, but we have His confidence. Almighty God is our shelter, our strength, our sufficiency, our security, and we will not fear in times of trouble. Christians have, you know, God's given us the ability. We're strong believers, strong people as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. We'll put things on t-shirts and bumper stickers that say no fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind, right? And He's not given us a spirit of fear. We know that to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We know it's a reverent idea and it's a type of worship, but we're not talking about that type of fear. We're talking about things, false evidence appearing real. I watched a movie the other day. I mean, like a lot of people are watching things on television and passing some time, but I heard this one character in this movie say, "To danger's real. Danger's very real and it needs to be heeded, but fear is not real. Fear is not something that exists. It's something that we've put in our mind of something that might or might not even happen in the future." And so with that said, I want to remind you today that God says that we can have confidence that He's in control of this no matter what. And it says, Selah, again, what do you think about that? Are you encouraged to think that God is in control of all of these things? And again, that through it all, God, the creator and sustainer of everything, holds us fast. So secondly, this morning, I want you to see not only God's promise for the times of distress in our life, but I want you to see God's provision for our daily walk. How do you and I, remember at the beginning I said this is a psalm of meditation where you and I meditate on this psalm and we wait for the response of God in our life. And God's provision for our daily walk, you know, what we're going through each and every day. It says in verse 4, there's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. That is a beautiful idea. The river, you know, in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, there was a river. And ultimately, in the end, in that holy city, that New Jerusalem, there's going to be a river. But I want to say to you right now, there's a river, and it flows from deep within. If you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, you have living water flowing inside you. You have this river. Someone said that the deeper the river, the calmer the surface. And I think that's true. I think that when you and I, we deepen our relationship with God, we study God's Word, we read God's Word. I hope you're, again, on some kind of plan. I'm in the book of 2 Samuel reading about David. And this, even yesterday, read about David and Absalom and Absalom's attempt to overthrow his father's kingdom and all of those things. But I'm reminded that even in times of trouble in David's life, God was on the throne and God would not allow the king to be defeated or destroyed. We know the cost was high. But we also know, and so I read that and I go, wow, I'm thankful that I'm one of God's children. I'm one of God's own. And so He's promised that He would also guard me and that He would protect me. Ultimately, even if this life succumbs to some disease or disaster, you know, I often kid about Highway 431 from Sardis to Grant each day, each Sundays and Wednesdays and every day that I come and how crazy it is out there. And there's very few people on the highway today. Very few people on the highway, but I'm trucking down 431 and I just passed the Walmart there on the left in Gunnersville, and I'm coming up that little rise and I'm in the left lane because I had just passed around somebody that was in the right lane, and I'm going the speed limit, 55. I may actually be going a little faster than that, I don't know, but maybe 60. And so I see a little white Chevrolet SUV up ahead, and he's in the center lane turning. He wants to turn left and pull out on the highway. And I thought, well, that guy's being good. You know, he's waiting on me, and I'm trucking down through there. Well, I get about 50 yards from him, and he pulls right out in front of me. I mean, there's no one on Highway 431 today, and yet somebody still tried to kill me on Highway 431. It's dangerous out there. From Sardis to Gunnersville, Highway 431 is dangerous. So every day, our lives are in, you know, they hang in the balance. If we get in a car, you put your life at risk. If you, you know, life is it's fleeting at best. But I want to say this to you, that no matter what happens to me or you that are in Christ, we have the confidence that God is in control, and He's given us this river, and I'm thankful for that. There is a river, and I want to say that in Jerusalem's history, I love this story of Hezekiah, how he diverted an ancient city, because Jerusalem didn't have a river. They didn't have a source of water. They collected it, and they collected it into a system where they would collect the water, and they would store it. But Hezekiah diverted an ancient spring through the deep Kidron Valley. They actually drilled or hewn out 1,777 feet of solid rock, into a reservoir inside the city walls. And the reason they did that was because when the enemy would come and attack the city, most of the time they didn't have to attack. They would just wait them out. They would either starve them out or they would wait for their water source to dry up and then they would have to come out. But what they didn't know was that Hezekiah had made provision for this cistern collecting water through a system that nobody knew about. And so when the enemy came from the outside and tried to besiege the city, they knew nothing of the unfailing source of inner refreshment and water, this life-giving water that Jerusalem had stored up, and that they could last just an amazing amount of time if necessary. But without that hidden river, Jerusalem would have been taken, and it would have fallen not from the strength of the foe from without, but from the weakness and the failure within. Can I say that? I want to say that again. If Jerusalem didn't have that hidden source of water and life-giving water, they would have fallen to the enemies over the years as they came. Not from the strength of the foe on the outside, but from the failure of strength from on the inside. And I want to say that to you today, that there's a river. And God's promised that river in your life. And that if you will keep deepening that river, no matter how the enemy rages on the outside, the enemy will not defeat us, no matter how mighty he might be, because of the strength within us of what God's promised us, his provision in our daily walk. I think that's so cool. The Holy Spirit has come and he set up a well of living water in our lives as followers of Jesus. And as Christians, we have that river within. And right now we're looking for ways to allow it to flow out of us and be a blessing to somebody else as well. This unfailing reservoir of spiritual supply. No enemy can stop him from flowing into us and through us and encouraging us. Just find that in God's word. God's provision for your daily walk. No matter what's happening today. No matter the panic or the crises or this disconcerting, unsettling time. That God's promise that his provision for our lives is sure and steadfast. And so you can be encouraged like that. And then I want you to see that not only is he a river, but he's a resident. In verse number 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. He's a resident. God in the midst of her. We have within this same resident of who dwelt in Jerusalem that lives inside of us. When Solomon finished the temple and the glory of God came down and filled that place, that was the dwelling place of God. But listen, that was a temple made with hands. When you and I are a temple not made with hands, when we trust Jesus Christ as Lord of our life and we were born again, we became the tabernacle of God. And he's come in and he set up permanent resident in our life, and he has literally pitched his tent among us, that he is tabernacling among us, living in us, set up resident in our life. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. In the midst of her, we have that promise of God's resident in our life. Till the storm passes by. We're going to sing one verse of that song in just a few minutes, that great old hymn. But I want you to say verse number 6 real two with me for a minute. And we're going to close here in just a minute. But in verse number 6, there's this idea of roaring. So we have God's river and his resident. And then there's this roaring that takes place in verse number 6. It says, the nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. This roaring, rage, describes the waters that's being talked about. Kingdoms were moved. And the chaos that instilled there. But I want to say this. It says that no matter what's happening there in verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, the waters roared in previous verses. It says, but he uttered his voice and the earth melted. I will say to you again today, and I'll remind you who our God is, that no matter when the kingdoms rage or the oceans roar or the storm beats upon the house, or no matter if the mountains fail in all of their impregnability and immutability, it doesn't matter, because God's voice speaks louder than all of that, and he's in control. And that's who our God is in our life. And so I encourage you today to deepen that relationship with Him. And then the most important thing of this passage, I think, that we realize that God's our refuge, He's our resident, and He sends a river. But we need to respond. We need to remember what He's done. He says, He goes on and says, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Come, behold, the works of the Lord, verse 8. He has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Verse 8 and 9, there's an invitation to see Him. We see all of His past works. He's worked in the past, and there's no doubt. We faced crises before, crises of war and crises of collapsed economy during the Depression. We faced numerous plagues and pandemics over the years. He's worked in the past. He can be trusted to work again. God, behold, come, behold the works of our Lord, our God. God is at work in the present. I believe God's on the throne today. Nothing thwarts His plans or His what He wills and desires. We prayed before church this morning, and Lord, one day we're going to see all this. Right now we look through a glass darkly. One day we'll see a reason for this pandemic time of 2020, as Brother Larry prayed this morning. But God will work in the future as well. This is not going to weaken who our God is, and this is not going to weaken who we are as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. If anything, I think it's a time to strengthen us, to deepen us, to be ready when the spiritual awakening comes. So there's an invitation to see Him. But more importantly than that, there's an invitation to know Him. Look what it says in verse number 10. He says, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, what do you think about that? I want to close and say this. You know, I think we need to resist the natural impulses there is where it says, be still and know that I'm God. We're not discussing an intellectual knowing of who God is. We're not, yeah, it starts there. We know there's a God. But for you to only know God intellectually, we call it intellectual assent, that somehow or another you think that just because you know there is a God, and you know there was a man named Jesus, and that you know the story that He died a horrible death at Calvary, and gave His life a ransom for many, that that's enough to save someone, and that's not true. You have to have a personal relationship with Him. So I think we need to resist these natural impulses just to know God intellectually. And we need to restore the idea that there's a must for a spiritual relationship. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm God. God is not going to let His winning men. He is not going to let the enemy win. He is determined to bring glory to Himself through all of this. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's going to get the glory out of all of this. But my friend, today, if you're not sure that if you die today that you're going to go to heaven, the Scripture says, listen, all these other things that we talked about, how that God is our safety and security, and He is all of those things, the river, and we have His confidence. He's our sufficiency and strength. All those things apply to somebody that has a personal, spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take a minute and share with you how you too can know that if today would be the day, whether through natural death or through some virus or some tragic accident in our community in Sardis, we have a family that has two little boys that were playing on their four-wheeler that's run off into the pond, and one of them is in critical care condition in Birmingham. And so life is short, and the answer to the brevity of life is to be prepared. And so I want to take just a minute and share with you this idea about how you can restore that spiritual relationship. Know for sure that Jesus is Lord of your life. The Scripture says it like this. I hope you see Him today. But more than seeing Him, I hope you know Him. Do you have, if you want to know for certain that if you die today, you're going to heaven, the Bible says you need to have God's forgiveness, that in him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. So in the person of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And in the person of only Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Not only do we have forgiveness, but we understand that it's available today, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, that John 3:16 passage. But we also know that it's not automatic, just because Jesus even said, some of you say, Lord, Lord, and I don't know you. There has to be this time where you know for certain that you repented of your sins and you trust Jesus Christ, and that forgiveness that was available to you, you received that. It's impossible for you to get to heaven on your own. It's impossible for God to allow sin into his heaven. Matter of fact, one day, if you die without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he says one day that his judgment upon your sin is going to be without mercy. Today's the day of mercy and grace. And today's the day of salvation, as the scripture says. And so I'd invite you to know him today. And if you're willing to turn from your sin and yourself and trust Jesus Christ to him alone, you can have everlasting life. But the scripture warns us, unless you repent, you're going to perish. And perish, that's a negative word, means forever, absent from the presence of God and the love of God in a place that you don't want to have to go, a place called hell. But if you're willing to turn from your sin and yourself today and trust Jesus Christ and him alone, that you could have everlasting life. And how long is that? Forever. Everlasting life. This life, if we live 80, 90, 100 years, we go, wow, that was a long life. And it's really just a blip in time. One day, I'm going to live forever and ever and ever in a place that God's prepared for me. And I'm thankful that he's promised that. He said, I have a gift for you. And that gift is everlasting life. That if you would believe on me, you could have life and have it everlasting. I heard that story one day, and I received that gift by faith. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that was settled in my life. It doesn't mean that I had to grow through those things, but I know for certain that if I died from that moment on, that I was going to heaven, but not because I was a good person or did anything good, but because I received the forgiveness of God that was available to me, and I turned from myself and I trusted Jesus, and I received his gift, the gift of everlasting life. I pray today that if you're unsure about having a relationship with Jesus and you want to pray, you there's no magic words. Just tell God how you feel. Lord, I'm not sure if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I want to know. I repent of my sins to the best of my ability. I trust Jesus as Lord of my life. I ask you to come into me and save me. Help me to learn to grow and mature, and we will help you. We will help you. But we want to hear from you, too. We want to know how to pray for you. We want to know how to pray with you. If you prayed a prayer today, or will pray a prayer today to trust Jesus as Lord of your life, I want you to reach out to us. You can call the church. You can call me personally. You can email us. You can post something on our Facebook page, and we'll get to you. We'll get back to you, and we'll help you in the process. I pray that you make these decisions quickly. It's amazing what's happening around the world. Churches that are talking about their live streams and their YouTube channels and how the watching and the rebroadcasting has increased infinitely. I mean, it's just really increased by some huge numbers. People are curious. People are maybe anxious. I got a message from a friend of mine. And it's probably been shared all over social media, but it was direct message to me. And he said, this is the, you know, we've seen all the toilet paper shelves empty in all the stores. And one friend of mine in Gadsden said the toilet paper rapture obviously has occurred and can be confirmed now because you see all those empty shelves. But the other one that I thought, Lord, thank you for that. It was a shelf at Barnes & Noble's of the Bible section. And there's not a Bible on the shelf. People are running and getting God's word and reading it. If you have anxiety and fear, let me help you settle those fears about eternity. And then we'll be able to face these other fears and these other anxieties in this crisis that we're in today. You got to start at the starting place. You want God as your strength and security and sufficiency and all those things that we talked about today. You want that river to flow from within, then you got to start with Jesus and know for sure that if you die today, you're going to heaven. So my encouragement to you today, if you pray a prayer, you trust Jesus as Lord of your life, please reach out to us. Let us walk with you through that. Let us help you start the discipleship process. And Father, I pray that you're encouraged today, that we find encouragement from God's word. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for being with us. Father, I ask that as we close this time, that you are exalted, Father. As we sing, we're going to sing one little verse of this song. And we pray, Father, that you would get the glory for that. We ask this morning that you take God's word and you encourage our hearts with it. And Father, that ultimately for someone that needs to know Jesus as Lord of their life, I pray today would be that day that they too would be saved. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.